And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Nothing's off the table. Nothing is on the table right now.
We are not good.
What?
We are not good, Chef.
No.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
We're in another corner.
Why the do I watch this game?
One of the local writers, Adam Hoagie or Hogg, excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hoagie.
Hey, George.
Hi, Adam.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Adam Johns, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Coach Ditka versus the Hurricane, who would win?
Ditka.
Hold on. The name of the Hurricane is Hurricane Ditka.
Here they are, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in, Hoag and Johns, with you almost exactly 12 hours after the Bears traded for Keenan Allen. Big move, Johnsy.
How about that? It's like the type of move that's straight out of your text messages a little bit. You know, not that. You know what I'm talking about? Like your readers and fans and your family and friends that are your text messages. Well, hey, how about they do this? You know, like really send out all these fantasy football-like trades, and here it comes to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bears did a good job of keeping those kind of under wraps. We did talk about it earlier in the week, just this idea of, you know, which of the, I guess we could call them the big four Chargers that had cap problems would come loose, and you know, Mike Williams got released, so it was like, okay, well, now they're going to hang on to Keenan Allen. And that just, I think that's kind of why it went on the back burner a little bit. But reportedly, I know you guys had this in your Athletic story, that they asked Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, and Keenan Allen to take pay cuts yesterday. Bosa and Mack restructured their contracts to accommodate, and Keenan Allen said no, and that opened the door for this big trade to add another legitimate wide receiver. So we're going to give you our initial reactions to this here in the first segment of the podcast, and then we were already planning on having Josh Lucas on the show. So Josh Lucas will jump on too to give his thoughts on Keenan Allen, what's been going on with Caleb Williams, Justin Fields. Hard to find somebody who would have a better idea of, you know, where Justin Fields might be at in all this than one of the guys that drafted him. So we'll hear from Josh Lucas here shortly. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns, and of course, at Hogan Johns on Twitter as well. HoganJohns.com is where you go to get the merch. Johnsy's rocking the Navy Walking Bear polo today.
If you're watching on YouTube, it's kind of hiding behind the Hogan Johns logo here a little bit. There you
go. Yeah, it is. It kind of lines up perfectly. I wish I was playing golf in that polo this morning. It's a little cold. I do have golf on my TV. Caleb Williams was at a golf tournament yesterday. Some people didn't like that. That was funny. The PGA put out a nice video last night of him taking in the 17th hole.
I'm all for that, by the way.
Yeah. What? Just being at the 17th hole at TPC? Yeah.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about us. Yes, I am also for being at the 17th hole.
I generally like the idea when other elite athletes take in other elite athlete performances.
Yeah. And the attention he's getting before even getting into the NFL tells you a little bit about the superstardom. And of course, it needs to be backed up on the football field. So we're a long way from getting there. But it is pretty fascinating at this point. I'm just noticing that I'm wearing black, you're wearing navy. My wife, that's one of her pet peeves, so she's not going to like watching this with the black and navy clashing.
We should have worn green.
We should have, especially you, because I feel like St. Patrick's Day is more like your Christmas holiday.
I just wanted to model the golf polo, though.
Yeah, no, that's a good job by you. I'm just modeling Under Armour, apparently, so I'm not helping us at all. Let's jump into the Keenan Allen deal. Just your initial reaction. how he fits in, age, contract, all of the above.
My initial reaction is that the Bears are significantly and immediately improving their situation for a rookie quarterback. Look, I get it. Justin Fields is under contract. He's still their starter for the time being. But the situation for any quarterback has significantly improved really throughout free agency. Look, DeAndre Swift, he upgrades the running backs room. You have a true center now in Coleman Shelton, not a guy like Ryan Bates who could play center but has that versatility to play guard too. You have a center who has played that position for two-plus seasons now, including for a playoff team in the Los Angeles Rams. That's a plus to me. And now you add Keenan Allen, who has widely been considered one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. He doesn't have to be a true number one. You have that in DJ Moore, so the pressure isn't on to produce in the ways he has produced in the past. But he's a true slot receiver, a veteran with a lot of experience, Pro Bowl clout in that locker room. It immensely improves the situation for the Bears quarterback.
I mean, yes, 100%. And even if you lower expectations a little bit, like, look, he's going to cost a lot against the cap. It's $23 million, including the $5 million roster bonus he's due on Sunday. But, you know, and we'll see. I guess there's a chance they could restructure this if they wanted to.
Add a year to it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But regardless, you know, even if we take into account the last 2 years since hitting 30, Keenan Allen missed 7 games in 2022, and he missed 4 games last year. Well, he still had 108 catches last year for over 1,200 yards. Like,
good.
So,
good player.
Let's say he misses 3 to 4 games again, and even that number comes down to 80 catches. I mean, that's more than double what you got out of Darnell Mooney last year.
I'm just thinking about what this means in terms of quarterback development. It's on and off the field, right? The invaluable experience of having a 6-time Pro Bowl receiver with you every single day of practice. Even if he's not practicing, the tips he could give you. Keenan Allen has played with Justin Herbert, but also Phillip Rivers. What a great resource to have. Plus, you have DJ Moore. Plus, you have Cole Kmet. This is a good move for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, especially when you have the space, unless you're obsessed with losing a fourth-round pick, which they do trade here, their fourth-round pick. They also have the Eagles' fourth-round pick a little bit later in the fourth round. But come on, a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen? And, I mean, this guy regularly, look, last, 7 years, 102 catches, 97 catches, 104, 100, 106, 66 2 years ago when he only played 10 games, and then 108 last year in 13 games.
I just think you need to keep this always in the context of what this means for potential quarterback development. It is this situation that the Bears are creating with this superstar power, this name power that Keenan Allen provides, it's just vastly different than what the Bears provided Mitch Trubisky in his rookie year. It's also different than what the Bears had for Justin Fields in his rookie year.
And year two, especially year two.
Yes, especially year two. Just in terms of what Caleb Williams could be walking into, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, plus maybe some draft picks too. Like, it's just a vastly better situation for a rookie quarterback to walk into. And we all expect that to be the case. I know Justin's still under contract. He's still here. There's no trade market. I get all that. But if you're improving his situation, you're improving his potential replacement's situation as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see any downside to this because anytime you make a move, a signing, you have to think worst case scenario, right? So, like, worst case scenario is you get him for 1 year and he's hurt a bunch and he doesn't go as you thought it might, right? Okay, you had plenty of cap space. You gave up a fourth round pick and he's still in that building to help mentor and bring along a rookie quarterback.
He will provide Caleb Williams with so much more than a rookie fourth round pick, which may not even be a receiver, which could be a linebacker.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, just keep it in the context of the quarterback position. Building around the quarterback. Helping a rookie come along in the NFL. This is a big move for the Bears, especially in that context.
And even if it is a rookie receiver that you use with that pick, like, that guy's not going to be able to give you a Keenan Allen.
That could be Tyler Scott. That could be Velus Jones Jr.
Right. 100%. And even if it's more like Darnell Mooney, who was great as a rookie, I mean, that's still not a polished player who, I mean, really is one of the best route runners in the entire league in Keenan Allen. And just having, remember last year when the Bears traded for DJ Moore and there was like that viral stat that he would already be the Bears' all-time leading receiver in yards? Mm-hmm. Well, Keenan Allen would already be their all-time leading receiver in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. So,
well, ain't that something?
They've never had two productive players like this. The only thing I can think of that would rival it is when they had Brandon Marshall with a young Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm going back to that season right now. So that season, you had, let's see here. So it's 2014. When was the big year? 2015 is when they exploded. Is that right? No, 2013.
No, I think it was the 2013 season.
2013.
But Alshon was just in his second year that year.
Yeah, 2013 would be the year when you had, here are the numbers. You still have Matt Forte. Yeah, Brandon Marshall, 100 catches, 1,295 yards, 12 TDs. Alshon Jeffrey, 89 catches for 1,421 yards and 7 TDs. And you still had Matt Forte, 74 catches, 595 yards. That would be Jay Cutler's. Where did he rank that year? Let's see. In terms of yards,
one of his best seasons.
One of his better seasons. Actually, hold on a second.
No, that was that the Josh McCown.
That's
year?
The Josh
yeah,
McCown year.
That was when Josh McCown got a bunch of games. But then
that's
Jay
when
came
guys
in.
Like yeah. Mark Carmen became McCownies.
Yeah, might not have been wrong. But, well, look, they have something that rivals that, and at least career-wise, because these, you know, Keenan Allen's certainly way older than Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey were at that point in their careers. But you're talking about two 1,000-yard receivers and 100-catch type guys. This is big. No matter who's playing quarterback, it's a big addition. You just hope he stays healthy, and you know, it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be exciting. All right, well, we're gonna reset here. We'll bring in Josh Lucas. We love having him on the show. It's been a few weeks, so we're gonna got a lot to talk to him about, and we'll do that right now. All right, good to have Josh Lucas back on with us as we inch closer and closer to the NFL draft and lean on his expertise and years of going through this process and continuing to do so this year with us. And Josh, thanks for jumping back on with us. We had some big news last night. The Bears making a big trade for Keenan Allen. Just what was your initial reaction to adding, one of the best wide receivers in the league, quite frankly. Obviously, he's older now, but this is still a 100-yard or 100-catch player, 1,000-yard receiving every single year, it seems like, that they've just added to this wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think the first reaction, I've always have not been a big fan of adding any skill position over 30 years old into your roster. Especially one you're going to have to pay, has not worked out too favorably in any of those situations I've been around in the past. That was my first blink thought. Then I watched this tape. Then I thought about the landscape of what the Bears wide receiver room looks like right now. Void of Mooney. You know, there's one starting receiver on that depth chart. Now you're adding a bona fide starter who, after watching his tape last night, can clearly still play. He's best in the slot. I would compare him to, you know, the 32-year-old pitcher in baseball who tops out at 86 miles an hour but still wins 15, 20 games a year because he's got outstanding command of four different pitches and he can locate as good as anyone. Like this dude, speed's never been a part of his game, so it's not like a little decline in speed is going to take too much away from him. He's sudden and he's really athletic. He changes pace as good as anyone you'll see, and that's how he creates one-on-one wins against DBs. Even on the outside, he can still play if he has to. He's best when he's in the middle. Super good feel versus zone coverage. He's always been a high volume, kind of low yards per catch guy. He's definitely going to make them better. I think if you're a Bears fan, they got better. If you're a Keenan Allen fantasy football owner, his numbers are about to take a plummet because regardless of who's playing quarterback, if it's Justin or a rookie, I still think this thing's going to be built through the run. You know, they added Swift. They're going to have a nice complement of backs. They've shown the last 2 years they can run the shit out of the ball. And you don't want to take too many targets away from DJ. I don't think there's going to be quite the volume of targets to go his way, but he makes them better. I was a little shocked that they were willing to take on $23 million this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of extension, renegotiation to lessen that cash hit in 2024. Or maybe they have it and are just saying, hey, we'll ride with it for a year and see what happens. I would imagine they're going to try to get some kind of extension out of it, lessen the cash hit, and then know you have him for another, you know, two or three more years as he finishes out his career. And then just to add, if it is a rookie quarterback, it's nice to have two really, really, you know, bona fide vet, mature, experienced guys in DJ and obviously Keenan to help that kid out.
That's what I wanted to hit on because in a way it's starting to like remind me what you guys did in 2018 when Mitch was your guy. It was time to build around him. You brought in Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton. You drafted Anthony Miller at that time. Like the investment was made to improve the quarterback situation. So like maybe expand on that a little bit. Like if it is Caleb Williams, what do you think he's walking into now with DJ, with Keenan, with Cole, with Gerald Everett, with a true center this time in Coleman Shelton? Like what do you think the Bears are now providing a rookie?
Yeah, I thought even before these moves were made, they were pretty well set up to handle bringing in a rookie quarterback if he's got to play year one. You know, they've shown they can protect. They've shown they can run the ball. They have a number one receiver, and now, like you said, they just made these additions. If you know you're taking a quarterback in the first round, it is your responsibility as an organization to do everything you can to put as much talent around that player as possible to help him succeed. Because no matter who it is, Caleb or any of these guys, the rookie year, especially for Caleb, Caleb's going to have to change the way he plays football. It's like it's a different style of football. So if he's forced to play year one, you know, the more help, it's just obvious, the more help you have around him, the better off he's going to be because there's going to be less pressure on him. I still think this thing, you know, the OC's coming from Seattle. You know, they run – I think it's going to be high-volume run. So I think the pressure is going to be off whichever quarterback is playing next year. And when he's got to throw the ball, they're starting to put together – a nice little basketball team of targets for him, because if they were to hit at nine on one of these receivers or even later, you know, in the second round, like there's some good receivers in this draft. So, you know, if they were to hit at nine on one of these receivers and you're rolling out there with TJ Keenan and one of those top three cats that's in this draft, the consensus top three, you know, of Marvin, Malik, and Dunze. That's a pretty good. That, we didn't have anything close to that, you know, for Mitch. We had some good players, but that would be some high level talent to put around a rookie quarterback, or even if it's Justin.
Well, okay, speaking of Justin, what do you make of the developments, kind of going back to the combine the last few weeks here, in, you know, first of all, general manager openly talking about publicly the idea of trading him, not committing to trading him publicly, but even talking about that publicly and doing right by Justin is not typically something you hear a general manager say publicly with the media, unless it's, you know, going to happen. I think we'd probably agree that Ryan Pace probably would not have been so open, you know, in talking about that publicly. And then nothing really happening here. And a bunch of other moves, a bunch of other trades, quarterback movement across the league, now down to backups being moved, and Justin still in Chicago. What do you make of all this?
So, yeah, I felt when I saw the Indy press conference that something was imminent because they had something done. And maybe Atlanta didn't think they were going to get Cousins and were prepared to move on Justin if that Cousins deal didn't go through. You know, Cousins obviously could have easily said, hey, I just want to stay here in Minnesota. Or he was just being open and candid with everyone, saying, you know, we obviously have the first pick and it's looking like we're taking a quarterback, and you know, if we get the right deal, we'll move on him. There's two things that could be going on right now. One, it's just an extremely depressed market for the player specifically. If you look at his career numbers, you look at his performance in the fourth quarter, the fumbles, the win-loss record, you know, you can make an argument that his value probably isn't as high as what everyone thought it was going to be, you know, postseason when he had a little bit of momentum going. So you could have a depressed market where, hey, it's not worth moving him for a fourth or fifth round pick. The other thing that could be happening is the NFL is screaming and telling everyone that the best thing to do for a rookie quarterback is not to play him. Like, without a doubt, it helps any of them, whether it's Caleb, whether it's Jaden, whether it's Drake, whether it's JJ, the best situation is to not have to play. Justin would be an ideal bridge to get to the second year for the rookie quarterback. We tried to do it with Mike Glennon and it blew up in our face and we had to play Mitch way too soon. Andy got hurt in the second or third game against Cincinnati. And then we got into this rotation thing, but ideally Andy could have stayed healthy that whole year and Justin could have played his second year. So I don't know what they're thinking inside Hallis Hall, but it's not a bad idea. The in a vacuum, to me, it's the best situation. Let Justin play this fourth year, let the rookie sit, especially if it's Caleb, because he's going to need an adjustment to not only how he plays, but he could probably use a year of where the media is not breathing down his back and to grow up and to mature and to see what it's like to be a pro and to learn from Justin. In a vacuum, to me, it's the best scenario for Justin to play and then for the rookie to sit. But we all know it's not a vacuum. And if it is Caleb and you're deciding to keep Justin, the circus is coming to town. Like, training camp will be nuts. Every throw will be microanalyzed. And if you're mature enough inside your building, if you have quality leadership, if you have good people in your locker room, that part shouldn't matter. The risk of playing Justin next year and letting the rookie sit is if it divides the locker room. If somehow people start taking sides, I don't anticipate. I couldn't see that happening because I feel like Justin has the backing of his teammates, and I don't see some rookie coming in and pulling that support away from Justin, no matter who it is and no matter how well he's practicing. But there is the risk of that. It has happened before in our league, and it's damaged the team and ruined seasons. So, like, you have to weigh that risk versus the positive of being able to sit a rookie quarterback and play with a vet who's going to be surrounded by a good team. And look, at the end of the year, they showed you not only can they hang with playoff teams, they can beat playoff teams. So, like, their defense is going to be better. Justin will be better if it's in his fourth year. And you get to sit a rookie quarterback, which I know, like, there's this pressure when once you draft a guy in the first round, you got to play him. You got to play him. If you can sit him and let him learn, history has told us it benefits the kid greatly.
With what you know about Justin, do you think he'd be okay with that? Like, you just drafted a quarterback first overall, and you want me to stay to be your bridge quarterback? Like, I was your first pick not too long ago. Like, do you think he would accept that? Do you think he would be okay with that? Or is it just the hard reality that I'm looking around the league, this is my best chance to play, to reprove myself to everybody? Like, knowing what you know about Justin, do you think he'd be okay with
that? I think the league's telling him his value right now. And all he wants is a chance to start somewhere and prove that he can get better and be better. And to me, what better place to do it than the place he's done it the last 3 years, where he's comfortable, he knows the building, he knows the teammates, he knows the team's going to be better. Obviously, the GM did not draft him. So, you know, obviously he's well aware of that, and he's probably known for a long time that there's always a chance that this new regime could come in and get their own guy. I think Justin would handle it well. My concern would be more how the rookie handles it. You know, I think there's probably you're talking about these top four quarterbacks. Without me knowing enough about their character and their back and their makeup, because that's not something I've had a chance to really go learn. You know, all I know is the tape. I'm guessing a couple of them would probably handle it much better than a couple of the other ones. And the one I would be worried about the most is Caleb, because I think Caleb walks into any building and he thinks he's the best player. And that's probably a healthy thing in a lot of ways, but could cause some distractions early on. But I think Justin is mature enough, self-confident enough to say, hey, I'll welcome the competition, and this will give me a chance to be a starter and show the league that I can play. And in the long run, that could benefit the Bears. You know, obviously, if he were to play really well, you know, and obviously they're not going to do his fifth year option, so he would be a free agent. And if he were to sign somewhere for a lot of money, that's, you know, it opens the door to compensatory picks down the road. So there's a lot of ways it could benefit them if he were to stay and play.
So, Josh, I mean, let's play this out a little bit. You're, because I agree with you in a vacuum, that's not a terrible situation. The reality is training camp comes. Like you said, every single throw is going to be overanalyzed. It will be anyway, you know, whether Justin stays or Caleb's here. But now you got some type of, even if the Bears come out and say there's no competition, Caleb's sitting, everyone will make it a competition on a day-to-day basis over who's playing well in each practice. I remember when Mitch was sitting behind Mike, there was the issue of us even having availability to Trubisky because everybody wanted to hear from the rookie quarterback. And I think during camp, before they're required to talk every week, it was like every other week we would talk to Mitch or something like that. And then once the season began, every player has to be made available. So you had Mike Glennon in a press conference room that's much bigger with half the amount of media that was huddled around Mitch's locker, in the locker room, cramping things up. That's just the reality of how it would be again, once again, with Caleb Mania coming to town. Meanwhile, Justin has struggled to stay healthy So the second he gets hurt, which is bound to happen at some point, Caleb probably comes in and plays, or he doesn't, and somebody else, Brett Rypien's going to come in and play, or Tyson Bagent's going to come in and play. That's going to set up another controversy. And the compensatory pick sounds great, but if Justin's playing well, don't you look to trade him before the trade deadline then?
Well, that I was going to bring that up, but if he's playing well and you're in the playoff hunt, this all comes down to another interesting topic that, you know, we won't have time to delve into today, because it's, you know, there's everyone in that building's got an agenda. And that's all 32 buildings. The GM's got an agenda. The head coach has got an agenda. And the first year OC's got an agenda. So if you're the head coach who's got to win this year, or he's gone, and you're playing well because Justin's playing well, you think he's going to want to trade the quarterback in the middle of the year and right. just throw a rookie out of there? So like that's a whole nother 2-hour discussion. So the bottom line is, this is, I think, for all of us on the outside looking in, this could go a million ways. You know, a most likely scenario, obviously, you know, they probably think they can get a fourth, recoup that fourth they lost last night, you know, for Keenan. But maybe they just wait it out a little bit to see what happens in the draft and see if someone's willing to give them something a little richer. And Justin's in another building next year. That's probably the most likely situation. But I don't think it's far-fetched at all to think that in the back of their minds, they're having that discussion of, hey, what if we just let Justin play a year and let whoever we take sit?
All right, so let's, beyond the quarterback conversation, beyond the first pick, like, what do you think Keenan Allen's arrival, place on this roster, means for number nine? Like, I think it helps you if one of those top three receivers isn't there and there's a run on him before you, like, okay, now I could take the best pass rusher. Like, or I could trade back because someone's calling up for J.J. McCarthy. Like, what do you think that means for the number nine pick?
I thought on Tuesday or Wednesday, when I was just kind of looking over the guys they've signed and what that depth chart looked like, that some way, somehow, before the draft, they needed to add a legit wide receiver or pass rusher. Whether that's a three technique, which obviously we know are impossible to find and they went fast, or a defensive end to play opposite of Sweat, to allow you some versatility and allow more options at pick nine. So I think you're right in saying having Keenan in the building and having DJ, if they want to take the best defensive player available, which realistically could be the first or second guy on your board defensively. Like, you're hoping all four of these quarterbacks go. Two of those receivers are going to go for sure. And there's a really good chance that the tackle from Notre Dame could go. And you're getting really close to nine, and no defensive player has gone yet. My guess, the most likely defensive player to go before nine is going to be Dallas Turner because of that rare upside. And so you could be sitting there at nine with your second and third, and maybe even your first defensive player on the board. So adding a solid starting wide receiver. So now you have two, and obviously you still got to add another one. And there's a lot of receivers in this draft. If they don't get one at nine,
Josh, getting back to the quarterbacks, is Caleb Williams still QB1? For you, is there? Have you had any new information? I know you're going off mostly the tape, as you said earlier. But I mean, do you still feel that way? And is there a gap between him and everybody else? Where are you at with these top four quarterbacks? Let's say.
Yeah, no gap. Him and then a gap as far as pure talent. pure throwing ability mixed in with the athleticism and the instincts. That's never changed for me. As this process wears on, you start to hear more and more stuff. There's a handful of things I've heard that would scare the shit out of me with that player specifically. But I do not know that if they're true. This is coming from sources, you know, so there's so much smoke right now. I don't know Caleb Williams. I'm not going to pretend to know him. He could be the greatest guy in the world for all I know. But there's a few things that I've heard that could be quite disruptive to his process. And that has to be vetted, you know, before you are willing to take him at that pick. And they'll have plenty of time and plenty of exposure and plenty of opportunity to make sure they know what they're getting in the player. As far as the other three guys go, you know, I think they're all worthy from a talent standpoint, but none of those three guys, to me, are going to be transcendent. Just drop them into any bucket of any team and they're going to change the organization. I think all three of those guys are going to need a lot of help around them.
Do you have any favorite, I guess, risers with all the tape that you're watching? Like, are you creating a list of favorite players for yourself? Like players that you would, put up high on your board.
There's two players right now that I'm absolutely in love with. Both go to Texas, both from Texas. The defensive lineman, Byron Murphy, he is special. He's a hell of a player. You know, when I originally saw the body type, you know, little bit of concern with the height and the length. But the way he plays and the power in his hands, he can compensate for a little bit. It still shows up. You watch the Washington game, there's a few times where the lack of length really shows up. But you want to talk about an ass kicker with a motor that has instincts. He's cock strong. He can leverage. He can rush the quarterback. He can win on edges. He can win with power. He's really, really dynamic. He's going to be the first defensive tackle taken, and he's going to be a hell of a player in the NFL. And he's extremely scheme versatile. You know, whether you can play him at the three, you can play him at the one, you could play him at all different types of positions in an odd front. You know, even though he's not that ideal 6'4", 6'5", long guy, he can compensate for it with a lot of ways, man. His grip strength is rare. He gets his hands into tackles and or guards' chests, and the way he can just snatch and jerk those guys, it's pretty special. And he can run. You know, he ran 4.88 at the combine. He's a guy that, you know, I would be super excited to draft at any point in this draft, in the first round. And then the other guy, I turned on the tape to watch Worthy from Texas. This is pre-combine. This is before the combine. But obviously, we all knew Worthy had world-class speed, and I wanted to watch it. Adonai Mitchell is the most talented wide receiver in this class, right alongside Marvin Harrison.
Wow.
If these guys all hit their ceiling in 3 years, to me, those are going to be the top two guys. He didn't just do it this year. This kid did it since the first day he walked on Georgia's campus. You know, a fun fact on Adonai Mitchell. 5 college playoff games. His true freshman year, they played Bama. They beat Michigan, and then they beat Bama. His sophomore year, they beat Ohio State, and then they beat TCU. His junior year, they lost to Washington. 5 playoff games, he scored a touchdown in every one of those games, including the game-winning touchdown against Ohio State in the fourth quarter, where he ran a hell of a route against a future first-round pick in Denzel Burke for Ohio State. He is uber talented. He's a little raw. He's just scratching the surface. He's got to get better after the catch because he's got the skill set to be a good run after catch guy. But of all these receivers, even Marvin, no one consistently whoops corners on the outside. I didn't see anyone who can cover him. He's played Bama three times. They can't cover him. Like, he has high-end ability. And really, I think there's some character stuff people are concerned about because he really, in my opinion, he belongs in that top three group. He belongs in that category. There's no gap. And he's got the biggest upside. Missed his senior year of high school football. You know, missed his pretty much his whole sophomore year at Georgia due to an injury. He hasn't played a ton of football, and he's just got the body type, the burst, a guy that big that can drop his weight and change directions. Like, it's the stuff he does is pretty special. So those are two guys that are really hot right now. And then the other receiver from North Carolina, who's much more of a wild card.
Tez Walker.
He is extremely interesting. He's play speed. When you talk about on the outside against a corner, stacking a corner vertically, he's the fastest guy in the draft. He runs by guys on the outside better than Worthy does at Texas. His play speed is sick, and he can track the ball, and he's tall and he's long. Now, he's a terrible route runner. He's not played a ton of football. 2 years at Kent State, 1 year in North Carolina. He's stiff in his lower body, so there's limitations. But there could be – I wouldn't be surprised at all if this kid becomes, you know, a bona fide deep threat in this league that scares the death out of defensive coordinators because he is tall, long, and can roll.
All right, we're going to finish with two more questions, and we'll try to get through them quickly. But any of these free agent additions that the Bears signed this week really stand out to you, or any that you're like, I have no idea why they signed that guy?
You know, I think they went I like the kind of, you know, bargain basement shopping in free agency. You know, I think there's always one to three guys that – are big ticket items that you want to try to land. I think for them this year is probably if one of those three techniques popped open. And the only one that hit the market really was the Dolphins guy, Wilkins. And I don't know if they got in it or not. You know, I heard they got in on Saquon, you know, and there's only so many of them that you can get in on, and whether they just got outbid, who knows? But what they did do was add, they were prudent. I think they were fiscally responsible. They didn't go out and spend crazy money on anybody. The new OC is coming from Seattle, so obviously he wants a quality stable of backs. They upgraded there. He's the most talented back they have now. I really like his ability in the pass game, which was featured more in Detroit than it was in Philly. The trade for Ryan Bates, you know, a guy that's only making $4 million a year. If he's got a start at any position, you're going to be happy. He's going to get you through the game. He can be your starting center if he has to be. I'm not as familiar with the Rams guy that they signed, you know, as far as him being the for sure starting center. I know Bates can start if he has to. I didn't mind that trade at all. Gerald Everett is a upgrade. We talked about this as far as needs when we did the personnel. They had to get a U tight end. He is an upgrade over Tanyan. He's getting close to 30. He's not a true one-on-one winner that you want at that position, but he brings much more speed. He can threaten you vertically. And he's also a much better blocker in space than Tanyan was. He's kind of been on these career one year, $6 million deals, 2 year, 12. It's kind of been his thing since 21. So I like that signing as well.
Josh, let's hit on Gerald Everett for a second because I mentioned this the other day that he was drafted one spot ahead of Adam Shaheen in that 2017 draft. Is there any type of story from that unfolding in that second round that year that you can share just with Gerald Everett going off the board? Did you guys like him too?
Yes, I have the board right in front of me. You know, the idea for us was, you know, we had signed Deion Sims to kind of be a Band-Aid Y tight end. And we had Zach Miller, who we thought we could get a couple more years out of. The priority, if it came down to it, was drafting a true Y tight end that could be a hand in the dirt guy, control the line of scrimmage, and add value in the pass game. And Njoku was our top tight end as far as a guy that could do it all. Obviously, he went in the first round. There was a couple U receivers, you know, that we really liked that were, you know, just pass catchers. Gerald Everett weighed 227 pounds coming out. So there was Ingram, there was O.J. Howard, there was Everett. Ingram and Howard went in the first round as well, or before we picked. So when we got to our pick, like, even though Everett was graded right, we had him right behind Shaheen, like, we were going to take the Y tight end. You know, that's what we thought are harder to find. The smaller pass catching guys are easier to find. We knew we were taking a huge risk in taking a guy that you know, was coming from Ashland. And there was a possibility of a grand slam or a strikeout. And obviously we struck out, you know, and it's unfortunate that of all those guys, he was the one that, you know, by far had the least production and the least impressive career. But, you know, that was the situation. You know, we grade those guys in two separate categories, like the true Y versus more of the U, undersized pass catcher. And we were coveting the Y tight end more. But we had all those guys graded in the second round. They were all kind of clumped together.
All right. Well, now he's on the Bears anyway, a few years later. It's funny how that works out.
And then the last thing, I like Byard because you have a young secondary. You lose the maturity in the vet in Eddie. And even though Byard has fallen off, he lacks ideal range. He can be compromised in some one-on-one situations. He's a savvy vet that can get his hands on the ball. And I think that's kind of been an undervalued, not talked about a lot addition for the Bears. You really just replaced Eddie with a similar type player, you know, a guy that's more instinctive and going to get his hands on the ball than he is physically gifted and fast. So I think they're doing a really good job. I don't think this team, as long as this regime's in place, is ever going to have to go wild in free agency because they've shown they can draft really well. And then the other thing is we didn't talk about is cap space and cash are two different things. People talk about the cap all the time. It's the most meaningless discussions. If you have no cap space, you can create cap space with cash. It's all about cash. So the Bears are working under a budget. So even though they have a huge cash or cap space, it doesn't necessarily mean they have the cash to spend it. And we all know what's going on. They're saying they're going to commit $2 billion to a stadium downtown. They spent $160 million on an empty plot of land. Like, that stuff plays into your yearly cash budget. So they could be operating under some restraints, you know, due to those situations that could also lead them to be more bargain shopping than perhaps they would have been if they had more cash available.
I'm glad you circled back to that because I heard you mention that earlier when we were talking about Keenan Allen and how you mentioned the cash. You didn't mention the cap. And we know the cap's not a problem right now. So that did caught my ear, and I'm glad you circled back because I was going to ask you about that. So That's super interesting. That
the cap is the most over talked about thing. I've spent 10 years in New Orleans. We are over the cap every year.
It's like a running joke now.
Every year, we're way over the cap. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Guess what? We signed who we wanted to sign. We kept pushing contracts out into the future. I'm sure it'll come back to bite them in the ass at some point in time, but it's been 15 years later and they're still competitive. And obviously they're not as good anymore because they don't have Drew and Sean. But like, if you don't have cap space and you want to create it, you can create it if your owner's willing to spend cash. Cash is king. That's all. It's all about that. The whole cap thing is just kind of, you know, a parameter that is needed, but it can be circumvented in all types of ways.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind if they end up restructuring that Keenan Allen deal here. It'll be interesting to see. Josh, thanks so much, man. We always appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Rhone comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Rhone stepped up to the challenge. Rhone's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Rhone's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Rhone shirt is this white dress shirt. It looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to Rhone.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Rhone. That's Rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, my biggest reaction that I think we have to go back to in that entire interview with Josh Lucas, did he say Byron Murphy is cock strong?
you took note of that too?
Yeah, I mean.
He did.
I probably should have jumped in and followed up, but do we have a definition on what that means?
Like literally within that moment. Like I was, what?
You were Googling?
I, you know me. I love scouting buzzwords.
I mean, that's you got to be careful Googling that, I feel like.
True. Also true. But if you put the word definition in there, it's safe.
Okay.
So I have an individual who acts manly and or cocky. Okay. Here's another one. A type of physical strength that is not derived from the weight room, but rather from having... balls of steel.
Oh.
Spitting. Now I'm spitting on my mic.
Yep. All right.
And this is where this podcast is gone.
Well, I was just like, is this one of those like borderline uncomfortable scouting terms, or is this a real, this is a real definition? And then our producer, Kent, here has brought to our attention, I think we dive into this. Because there might be a connection to Matt Eberflus. Like, we might actually have to ask Flus a question here, because we know Flus has his nicknames. And we know Rod Marinelli is his mentor, one of his mentors. And there's a story from the Dallas Morning News from 2015. But it goes back to when Rod Marinelli arrived in 2013 to help the Dallas Cowboys defense. Key members of the unit were given nicknames. Does this sound familiar? Flus and his nicknames. Nick Hayden. Badger, by the way. Nick Hayden. Graduated from Wisconsin the same year as me. Nick Hayden's nickname given to him by Rod Marinelli was Golden Cock. Don't get mad at me. This is in the Dallas Morning News. It's legitimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he be mad at you?
I don't know.
I think everybody is now thankful that we revisited this story from the Dallas Morning News.
Well, this is all Kent. I mean, he's the Cowboys guy, and he brought it to our attention, and this is great. And apparently, now I'm clicking on a Twitter link. Apparently, there were actually T-shirts made up.
So what we are now suggesting, that when the Bears do draft Byron Murphy with the 9th overall pick, the T-shirts, we're not saying Hogan John shirts, but T-shirts, be made with the nickname Cock Strong.
I mean, I don't know if it quite qualifies as an obvious shirt, a little less obvious of a shirt, but...
But it's an obviously good nickname.
I feel like
this is what I love about
talking. I feel like Joe can get behind this for a T-shirt.
Yeah. Like, I love talking ball with Josh, because all the scouting terms get thrown in there again. Like he reverts to that, and that's like, I love it. I love scouting lingo, and this is a good one.
Yeah. But it also makes me wonder about the less clean nicknames that Flus might have for members on the team that we haven't heard. I mean, I feel like we've only heard of like Mako Shark. Okay, but if Rod Marinelli's really your mentor, there must be some better nicknames than this.
He's tamed it down a bit.
Yeah, and makes me wonder what the nicknames really are for us.
The idea, the visual of like one of those Bears mic'd up behind the scenes cameras, where he's walking around high-fiving guys before the game.
This, you know,
Golden Cock.
If we get to talk to Flus again at the owners' meetings this year, I mean, we might just have to do the whole interview on this.
No, it's coming up for sure.
But like, come on, dude. We're here at the owners' meetings. The weather's nice. We're in Florida. We need every nickname that you have on us right now. Yes. Come on, spill it.
And the nicknames that he has for the media.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
We need those. Yeah. All revealed in this episode. I think it's coming. That's fantastic. All right. Anything else serious that we should react to?
In all honesty, like the stuff on Justin Fields is fascinating. Like, forget the depressed market conversation. Just the idea of the Bears being his best situation to prove himself to the league again, and how the Bears might be actually okay with providing that, given the right selection of quarterback and who they put in that QB room with Justin Fields.
See, the only thing I really, because I do agree with him that it's not
in a vacuum, as he said repeatedly. Yeah,
I would also. There's a couple things I quibble with. One is I think Caleb is a little bit different in that I do think he probably should play right away. Two, like your follow up of whether or not Justin would be okay with that. I think publicly he would do what he's done from day one that he's gotten here and put on a brave face and say, you know, yeah, whatever the team needs me to do and all this stuff. I think privately, how could you not be like, dude, you're going to make me learn another offense here, and then I'm going to have to learn another offense next year because everyone involved in the situation knows he wouldn't be here in 2025. I keep coming back to this conversation. I think it's a conversation worth having because he's still on the roster. But I don't... We've been through this twice now. We went through it with Mitch Trubisky. We went through it with Justin Fields. The idea of sitting these guys sounds good. It's not very real. It's realistic. And before you bring up the Chiefs and Ryan Poles was there... Completely different situation. And the fact he was there, he knows it's a different situation.
Well, history is against this idea. It is. It really is. Who knows, though? Something to think about. You don't want to think about it? I'm thinking about it more than I ever have right now. So if you're like you're part of that Justin Fields fan club, like if you're that person running that Twitter account, like... Adam Fields is thinking about this.
Did you just call yourself Adam Fields?
Did I call myself Adam Fields?
I think you called yourself Adam Fields.
Adam Johns is thinking about this Fields situation. Okay. I'm laughing internally still right now. Sorry. I'm lost. We got to end this podcast.
That was a good one. All right. Well, thank you to everybody listening, and thanks to Josh Lucas, of course, for jumping on with us once again. We will be back next week with a couple more episodes. Some important pro days going on next week. Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy.
Well, USC's pro days on the same day as Alabama and Ohio State.
Yeah. So that's interesting because the Bears are going to have to split up resources at least a little bit there.
Yeah. That's one of those all hands on deck. Everybody's out of the building.
Well, maybe you just send the defensive guys to Alabama.
Yeah.
Because...
But Flus has to go to California.
That's a good point. You got to have your head coach there with the potential quarterback. 100%. But there's also J.C. Latham at Alabama for if you're looking at offensive tackles potentially. So resources will have to be split up. You also got Notre Dame on Thursday next week. You got Michigan on Friday. So it'll be a busy week on the pro day circuit. We'll have it all covered for you along the way, and we'll see if any more moves are made over the weekend. We're expecting Keenan Allen to be introduced as well at some point over the weekend. So everything that happens, we will have you covered on the back end of it. We'll be back Tuesday with another episode. I think that's the plan Tuesday morning. And please... Follow us on Twitter in the meantime, at Adam Ho, at Adam Johns. At Hogan Johns is our show account on Twitter. Go give it a follow. Please hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel, regardless of if you watch on YouTube or if you listen to the podcast. It would help us grow the channel, so please do that. We appreciate all the love and support along the way. All the merch is up at HoganJohns.com. Go get yourself a golf polo. It's golf season. It's here. I might even go play some holes later this afternoon. The sun's coming out. Looks kind of nice outside. We'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Cock strong.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.